Why don't we open with a word of prayer? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have. Thank you for the grace that you give us. We ask for clarity, understanding today so we can keep your word with us as we go out into the world. We thank you for Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. So, still on the sovereignty of God, and we were talking about God controlling, or his sovereign control over not only time, but also in the lives of individual believers. And I think that's a point that we sometimes separate, that, you know, God is in control, but he's not necessarily in control in the details of our lives. And that's the point that I wanted to hit on today. So, but what I hope you saw was that, you know, no matter what, God is in control, but there's a spot that the Christian can be that is not only positive to that authority, but also under that authority and control, that we can be a part of that plan in your individual life. And that's where we all want to be. You know, that's really the Christian life, the Christian the goal and the desire of the Christian. And that's the responsibility that God places us in as we are all Christ followers, right? Slaves of Christ, the Christians. So, and I left off with reading you a bunch of words that were basically meant to show you that when we're in a certain place, whether we're happy, sad, depressed, in abundance, not in abundance. These things all go back to, is God controlling your life? And I truly believe that the spiritual is connected to the physical. Not only the physical, but the spiritual is connected to the way you feel. There's a lot of emotions out there, but there's also a lot of emotions that are rooted in something that comes from your soul. And one of those is Thanksgiving. You know, we can live in a certain way because of the Word of God. We can think in a certain way because of what God has availed us to through His truth. So always relate that controlling aspect even in your day-to-day walk. Because remember that just by holding God's hand and walking through life by your consistency in the spiritual life means that you can have these better and greater things that He offers us, like contentment. You know, we're all looking for, the world is looking for these things, but this is the only place that they are found. That's it. Everything else can only give you temporary, or things that don't last, or fleeting, but God gives us permanent solutions to these problems that we have in life. So, but the issue in all these cases, whether you're depressed or thankful, doesn't really matter. In each case, the issue is, who's in control of your life? Is it you, or is it the Word? Is it God? Is it the Holy Spirit? So you see where things can go really sideways really quickly when we are in control, because our solutions bring us no fulfillment and leave us in a place of frustration, anxiety, worry, you know, all these things, anger sometimes. These things are what we have to offer. That's our control. That's a picture of what our control looks like and what our capabilities are. They kind of leave you in a place where you don't want to be. So, and I don't know if you noticed, but in that list, I kind of combined some emotional words along with some words that come from a thought process. And there was a point of that because, you know, I think those two are connected. I realize that, you know, there's something that can make you really happy if you see it sitting in your driveway with a big bow on it. And there's emotion that can come from that. Right? But there's also an emotion that can come from the truth that's inside of you. Your outlook on life gives you a different perspective just because you have a hope that the unbeliever doesn't have. You think about that. When there's nothing to hope for, there's no promises that are true that you can live by, what do you have? There's nothing left except your own means to try to bring in these things that only God can offer. It's like Satan, you know, he tries to bring in the things that are almost the same but not the same. They're temporary, right? Temporary and false solutions. So I combine those just for that reason. But God's desire is to never to have to discipline anyone. Just like a parent with a child. You know, we don't have fun disciplining our kids, although they probably say you're lying. No, you like doing it. No, we don't. We really don't. We don't like disciplining our kids. And the reason should be obvious, right? We do it because it's our duty. It's more of a responsibility. It's for the child. It's for their own good. It's for their future. It's for the way they're going to live on the earth, right? It's not necessarily for them to understand the details right then and there. And so God doesn't want, you know, when we think about control, and I'm talking about God controlling your life through His authority and being under that authority, that's where we want to be, because God doesn't have to discipline us when we abide in His truth. Abiding in His word means that you're not only living by it, but you're following it in the details, specifically the Holy Spirit. That's your power. That's how you walk the Christian life, right? That's how you are function. So God rules and He controls, but He wants you to take part. He wants you to participate. Isn't that what fellowship means? Participation. He wants our participation into His control. Because His control doesn't change. His control is moving forward, but how much better is it for us to be a part of that control? I'm talking about in your heart, in your soul, not just in this timeline. We can see that control. It's easy to see. I'm talking about in your individual timeline of your life. God has to control all timelines, and He does. But it's a matter, He wants you to participate, because how much better that can be for us as an individual. You know, we can't affect God just because we reject. Does He like it? No, He doesn't like it. But does it affect Him, detract from Him in any way? No. Does it make Him change His plans? No. We're the ones that have to adjust. We have to. And that's the point, I think, of control. When you allow someone to take control of your life, what do you have to do? Well, you have to make adjustments. You have to make adjustments. I can tell you, I have made a lot of adjustments in my life. And I know you have too. There's a lot of things we could be doing right now. You know, as I was coming to church, I was looking at the cars. You know, you see the cars, and there's not a lot of cars on the road. Not a lot of cars. No traffic. I mean, it's nice for us, you know, when we come to church. Oh, it's a very nice drive, you know, no cars. But think about that. If everybody was going to church, it'd be just as crowded as it was on a Monday. That's the people that are going to church. I mean, and you know, I get it. We only see a certain amount of cars because the church is close to the house, and but there's just not a lot of cars on the road. And so God controls and He rules, but there's not a lot of people that are taking part and allowing Him to control in their own individual lives. Even though He still is and He still does, but they're not participating. And that's what I'm getting at as far as His plan for individuals now. You, me, and as a whole, collective body, right? We're all in the body, but look who's in control of the body. This is the body of Christ, the church. And so that's us, but we have to allow Him to control the body. He's the head of the body, right? So there has to be one of the things, at least, there has to be, that's already in place, is an understanding. there's got to be an understanding on the part of the believer. Without an understanding of these things, all these things that we talk about are meaningless. We've got to have ears to hear, and we've got to have a mind to think with, and we have to have functionality as a human being to be able to take the words, toss them around, accept, reject, and move on and live them. And that's basically what we're doing when we, if you want to break it down to the details, that's what you do. You take the word, it goes in your mind, and you think about it. And there's either, there's a slide that it just slides right out, and you push it off the slide, or you retain it. You keep it. And all that means is that you accept the truth inside of your soul. Once you accept it, that is meaningful. That is something you can actually use, because why? It changes you. It changes your thought process as a believer and the way you live, the way you think, the way you interact. You know, it may be very minor, but the Word of God transforms us. You know, this is day to day. It changes you. It changes your outlook, how you view certain things. Remember, look back when before you were a believer or up to the point you became very positive in the Word, how you viewed certain people or certain types of people, right? There's different, all kind of different people. And there's certain ones that may get on your nerves or may irritate you or may do something to you. But as you grow spiritually, guess what happens? You start to view these things differently. Because not only are they part of what God has created in His image, but they have a soul just like you. And the physical things begin to fade away, and you realize that there's a lot more purpose of what God wants you to do and how He wants you to function on this earth as far as how you view life and how you do, because people view it all kinds of ways, right? But God requires us to be the called out ones, be the ones that are separate and distinct from the rest. And remember Colossians 3:15. I guess this is where that came in. Let the peace of Christ rule. Okay, you see the commands here in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. It's pretty cut and dry. Two commands. Let the peace of Christ rule. Now, this is pretty much what we've been talking about. You know, there's a reason why we have peace. It's not just from eternal security, it's day to day. This is the Word of God. You're running and living off the peace that the truth gives you in your soul. That's what this verse is referring to. And that's a command right here. That is a command. And look what else, to which indeed you were called in multiple bodies, one body. This is a one body concept that we're all a part of and we all have access to. There's that calling again, the responsibility to be drawn in that direction, to start making decisions that orient not only your personal situation, but those around you around that calling. I realize that this is different for everybody. You know, there's different degrees that you have to figure out where that falls in your life on where you go on that calling. Because that includes family. It includes friends. It includes free time. It includes all these things that we have to take into consideration. But the goal is to maximize on that calling in a way that is logical and goes along with your individual situation, right? You can't be a monk that's sitting on the top of a mountain 24/7. I understand that. You have a life to live. You have, God wants to give you a break. You need a break. Right? You need sleep, you need vacations, you need all these things. But you can see that Christian service is 24/7, and when you've been called, it doesn't really matter where you go, your ministry goes with you, and you take it with you, because you always know the person that you want other people to know, right? We were just talking about that, Jesus Christ. You don't keep that to yourself. Not only does it come out through your life, but you're an ambassador. Aren't you representing Christ wherever you go? Yes, you are. And then I like how it ends, the command and be thankful. Like here, do this, 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 be thankful, and go on your way. It's cut and, nice and cut and dry to the point. So be thankful. That's a command. And really, what else is left? There's not much left. If we actually have this peace, all we can be is thankful. That is it. When you are content, fulfilled, not needing anything outside of what the Word provides you, you're happy. You realize that maybe you don't have everything, but you have everything that God wants you to have at that moment in your life. There's a place that takes an understanding to go along with that where you can be content. You can be happy. And you can be thankful of what God has given you. But it takes, look what came first in the verse. It takes the peace of Christ to rule. To rule. And that's the rule that I was referring to in your own individual lives as far as humility and obedience to the directive will of God. So, the word rule here is brabuo, and it means, it's an interesting word. It means to decide as an umpire or to arbitrate, making the call. Who's making the calls in your life? Who's the umpire in your soul? Is it you or is it the Word? Is it Christ? That's all this boils down to. Who's making the decisions? If we're making decisions not based on our calling, that's an issue. If we're making decisions not based on contentment, if we're frustrated, angry, and we're making decisions within this, that's coming from myself. We've got to be in a place where God is ruling when we make these decisions. And it starts with that confession, right? That's what gets us back in that walk. At least the initial point to get us back in. And when I refer to making the call or to decide as an umpire, this word means that there's a conflict between contending forces. Isn't that interesting? Well, sin nature, God. There is a conflict. There is a rule that has to be decided on. There is something that we have to battle with. And that's the fight. That's the spiritual warfare that we all have to deal with internally. Not just out here with other people, internally. So don't just think that God is going to rule without you participating. I'm talking about your individual lives. He does rule. He always rules. But you've got to make a distinction on where you fit in. Where you fit into that. And then here we go. This next verse makes perfect sense. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So, I can't sing, but I can sing to God. I tell you that much. You can have a soul attitude that is singing to God. And I think that's where the thanksgiving comes from. You know, that thanksgiving is not just a moment and then it's gone. It's a sound. It's something that's continuous. It's like a melody, right? It doesn't just come to an end. It's a type of thought that you have. I'm talking about a state. Does that go away at times? Yes. We have a sin nature and we know how to make decisions and really hose things up, don't we? But you get the point. We can have it as long as we are willing to keep it. That's a fair statement. I'm not going to throw time on when you're going to throw it out, because it's going to be different for all of you. You could keep it. I don't know. It's different for everybody. It could be a minute to days. Who knows? I don't know how much influence you have around you to get you out of fellowship or get you out of the filling of the Holy Spirit. The word dwell here, you see this command. It says the word richly, or actually you see dwell, the word richly right behind it means abundantly. And that should be clear. Dwell here means to take up residence within your soul. There's the command. God wants you to take these things and make them a part of you. Make them a part of you. Not just leave them here on in the scripture. Not just leave them there in the pew. He wants them to become a part of you. That's why it says dwell. That's a living inside. Dwelling in you means that's part of your lifestyle. Part of you, who you are. And it's a command. This is really a picture of occupation with Christ, isn't it? When the Word is living in you, dwelling in you, occupation with Christ. Not only are you thinking His Word daily, but it's part of you, it's who you are. So we have to ask ourselves, who's making the calls in our life? If it's God, the mind of Christ, His Word, then we can expect His good results. That's what He promises us. And if it's not, then we can expect the opposite. So, let's keep moving in Exodus. We're on 12:30. Now remember, we're in the middle of this last plague. Thank you. Sometimes those things take a while to get to the front. The plague. Plague number 10. And you remember, this is the death of the firstborn to the Egyptians. It says, Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night and said, Rise up, get out from among my people, both of you and the sons of Israel, and go. Worship the Lord, as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and go and bless me also. I like how he threw that in there, the ending there. Oh, and bless me also. You know, I don't believe in your God, but if you can do this, go for it. I'll take it. So you can see, here's the, I guess you can call it the climax of where Pharaoh releases the Jews from his, under his slavery. At least initially, right? So, what I thought was interesting is that even the Egyptians urged them to leave because they thought they would all die. Doesn't it say that? His servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home. Then he called for Moses and Aaron that night and said, Rise up, both you and the sons of Israel. Okay, maybe it's not in this verse, but it is in here. Not only does Pharaoh tell them, but his people also tell them to leave. Can you imagine someone in the house when every house is, there's someone dead in there? I'd be running out and saying, get these people out of here, right? We got to get them out. They're causing some serious issues. No more plagues, please. A few verses later, we see that the number of people that left is debatable. But it says there were 600,000 men on foot, and it also says that they lived in Egypt for 430 years. This is the Jews. That's a lot of men. That's not including women and children. 600,000. So, here's the start, you could say, of the 40-year wandering in the desert. It wasn't all wandering, but this is the start when they started the exodus out of Egypt. This is really the start, isn't it? And then we have, skip down to verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 21. It says, The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. Now, some key words in here I wanted us to see that very much apply to those who are in the plan of God are, one of the things was that He was going before them. He went before them. Not that He went with them, but He went before them. The word literally means traveling ahead of them. This is divine protection. This is God's divine protection to the Jews, paving the way, making sure that their path has been cleared. And by the way, God provides this for every one of you here. Every single Christian believer in Jesus Christ, God will go before you to make sure the path is clear. That's what He provides us with. And many times we're unaware, we're forgetful, we're oblivious, but God goes before us. He knows the way we are. He created us. He knows that we took on a sin nature after that point, and He knows that we have a struggle. He knows our faults, He knows our flaws, and He knows our weaknesses. So when we think about God going before us, think about what's one of the things that the Christian worries about the most? What they don't know. The future. What am I getting involved with here? There's a new situation in life that I don't know what's ahead of the path. How about is that the Lord is going before you? That's what we need to really be concentrating on, not the unknown. Do you see how there's a replacement happening here within your soul? See, we can dwell on the unknown. We can dwell on the worry, the anxiety, all these things. But what good is that doing us? There's a replacement truth that can push that right out and say, God is going before me in this situation. Even though I don't know, He does know. And that's where we need to hang our hat. That's where we need to lean on and trust. Because there's a dependence there, remember? It's about control, it's about rule, and it's about who's leading you. Do you see the difference? If I'm going to sit there and worry about the future because I'm unsure and I don't know what's going to happen, I'm controlling the situation. That's coming from me, not from applying that the Lord is going to lead. So divine guidance. I mean, this is one of the things that, you know, we all desire as Christians is guidance. But God gives us, and He gives it to us. And if we allow Him to lead us, as we've been talking about, not only does He go before you, but He shows you the right way. He shows you the way to go. He shows you how to do it, what decisions to make, and He shows you what timing is right. You know, these are questions that we have. These are things that make us worry. They can really weigh on us when it comes to timing, when it comes to waiting, when it comes to these things that we talk about, and they tend to get us off track. But look who's in control. There's a reason why we get off track is because we want to not apply the word. That's why. I mean, that's a different way of saying it, but if we choose to follow Him, He shows us a very specific and blessed path that He has laid out. That's exactly where we want to be. Exactly where we want to be. But you have to be willing to take it. You got to be willing to take it. And I'm talking to a congregation that is growing and is maturing spiritually. And I'm still telling you, you have to be willing to take it. It still applies to you just as it does to the baby believer. You have to be willing to take the solutions. I noticed that the word, it says He was leading them on the way, doesn't it? And if you look in the Hebrew, that word has an article in front of it, which means it's pointing out the fact that this is a very specific way. Very, very specific. There's only so many ways that we can go in life, but there's only one way that God has a plan for your life. There's only one. And what does it take? Remember, it takes that leading us through. If we want to walk with Him, He will show us that path. But it goes back to what we've been talking about, that humility and obedience. He's laid it out. You know, you have to ask yourself, there's no reason why, and why is there so many people that are gritting their teeth going through life? And I'll tell you why. because they're in control. They're controlling their own path, and it's not easy. If you've been in control for longer than a few hours, you start to feel the pressure because we can't control. Things begin to pop at the seams almost immediately when I begin to plan, think, and hold things together as if I can really, you know, maintain these things. Things change. Things fluctuate. Things don't happen soon enough. Things happen too soon. You get the point. And there's just too many pieces to keep together. But that's because I'm leading. There's no amount of pieces greater than what God can handle. You get the point? Who's the one handling the situation here? We just have to be willing and let Him lead us. And when you look at people and they're gritting their teeth, they're bitter, they're angry, they're frustrated, they're worried, they're always moody, everything sets them off, it's because they're leading their own life. What else? How else could you go? I mean, that's the only place to go. That would make you bitter too if you stayed going through life on your own without any divine solutions. I mean, you know, that just leads to bitterness, anger. They're just not responding to God's authority over their lives. It's an issue. We have sin natures. We want to be in authority, unfortunately. But God's design wants us to be under His authority. Isn't that the whole part of the battle here between the old sin nature and the Word? It's really about authority. It's about righteousness. It's about which righteousness we're going to use, God's or my own's, or my own. So you get the point. There is a struggle there. So God gives us the option of how we want to live this life, and one of those options is without Him. But the other one, obviously, is with Him. So there you go. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who choose just the wrong route. Now, we saw the Jews, when they didn't make the right decisions, that 40 years seemed like it could have been a couple weeks. But you see what happened. They decided to lead. They decided to control. And you see what got extended, the time frame. And we do the same thing. There's a lot of things in life that we have a hard time getting over. And you look back and look at the time it took. We were wandering in the desert because there was just that one thing that we just couldn't get over it. We couldn't apply the Word towards it. And all of a sudden we look back and we were wandering for years. It's a righteousness thing. This is a righteous issue right here. God's righteousness or your own. We don't want to waste time. That's one thing we don't want to do. You know, God gives us time, and we'll take time, we'll abuse time, we'll use time, and we'll make use of time. But it doesn't change His plan. But it does change your life on how you use that time. It does. That is for sure. And notice when the Jews were obedient, what happened? They got back on that narrow path that God had chosen for them, that He'd already led them through and He was going before them in. So you could say it's all about advancing in the right direction in life. There's a lot of ways we can advance, but there's only one right direction of advancement, and that's in the spiritual life, right? So, you know, when you think about wasting time, there's a lot of things to think about. I know we're all human. We've all wasted time, a certain amount of time in our lives. And you'll continue to waste a certain amount of time in your life because we can't get it right 100% of the time. But when I look outside the church doors and I see things that are wasting people's time, you have to ask yourself, they're too far in it to recognize almost. this is almost a normal thing, a normal lifestyle of leading their own life because their priorities are around the things of this world. That's the control. That's what it does to you. It gets you in a routine to where that's the new norm and there is no other options. When you're in control, you will get in a rut of being in control. And you won't be able to get out of that rut. What do I mean by in a rut? And you know what? Before I read these, none of these things are bad in themselves. But when they're in control, when they're top priorities on your list, that's the problem. Money, success, prosperity, career, kids, social life. See how none of these things are bad? But when they become your top priority, it's because you're leading your own life. And where is God in that list? It's not there. It's not there. It may be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 10, for all I know. It's all about pleasures at that point. But are you starting to see where all these distractions point back to? To the one choosing to be distracted. They're not pointing back to anything else. They may have been influenced by other things. Maybe Satan, maybe unbelievers. But it still goes back to the individual that is choosing to be distracted by career, by success, whatever. You know, I'm saying it again. There's nothing wrong with money, success, prosperity, career, kids, obviously, social life. But they can be consuming. They can consume you. Where you think you're in a position to where this is, you know, you're running out of time, you're the one that makes the money. No, you're not. God is the one who gives and God is the one who takes away. God has given people time to make their own decisions and giving them a certain amount of prosperity to get them maybe to a point where they recognize, is this it? There's got to be something better. And there is. There is, but he's got to let them go down their own path, right? It's just some people don't always see it. Or they reject it, I think is the right response to that. God will knock and knock and knock, and you know, it's a matter of do we respond to that knocking. So the question for us is, what is distracting you? What is distracting you? Now, I brought it home really quickly because I don't know each individual person and how the life you live and what you do, but I know that there's these things that come into our lives that take priorities, that take our time, they take our mind. And when I talk about time, I don't mean just physical time. I don't mean just being there. I'm talking about thought processes. You can be consumed by thinking about a business. You can be consumed on thinking about a project that you have at the house. You can be consumed about how you're going to fix something because you don't know how at that point, and it can consume you. See what I mean? There's a certain level that we have to recognize when it becomes a distraction. When does it become a distraction? I don't know. It's different for everybody. But you have to ask yourself that. Now, there's a major difference in having and enjoying something versus having and enjoying something to the point where it's more important than God. Big difference there. And I know everyone here is positive. We're going to keep a routine. We're going to keep doing this. But it doesn't mean we're immune from distraction. That's for sure. Not at all. So what I'm telling you is, there's a major difference in these things. And this is a relationship that we're in. This is a relationship. It takes your time, your mental time. It takes your soul strength. It takes faith. It takes obedience. So this isn't going to happen on one Sunday a week. This is a daily thing. And I'm not saying just because I see some of you on Sunday that you're doing it once every Sunday. No, you can do whatever you want on your own. We have so many resources available to us online, and I don't have enough. But there are other pastor teachers who are teaching biblically in this world that have thousands of probably hours that you can take in the Word. Give God a little bit of your time each day. Doesn't have to be a full hour, but most Americans fall into the trap of that one Sunday showing up, nod to God crowd, and think that's it. That's all it takes. That's where our country is. They're in control of their life, and they have to clock in for that hour or two on Sunday, and that's it, and walk away. See, it's a lifestyle. Now, I think our country is past the point of telling them this or even trying to explain it to them. I think we're past that because we've been doing this for a very long time. And remember what I told you about getting in that rut. It becomes normal. It becomes the standard. Everyone else is doing it, but it's not the biblical relationship that God is mandating us to live. 2 hours a week is not it. But it's routine. And another thing that it is, it's comfortable. It's comfortable. Because it allows someone to go along through life and it lets them keep their priorities that we just mentioned on the top and indulge in their sinful natures at the same time and put God down here. That's what it really does. Oh, and they'll pray a little bit. They'll tell you they're praying. But what did we hear about prayer? We've got to pray in tune with the will of God. What are they praying for is the question. We want to pray things that are meaningful, don't we, as Christians? Yes, we do. But God is in the business of making people aware. I believe that. He's in the business of making us aware that not only he's there, but that we're not living in the right way. He does that. He does it through pain, suffering, adversity, and death. That's how he makes us aware. And you know what? It makes me very aware. I don't know about you, but we have feelings and things hurt, and it makes us aware. So a pillar of cloud to travel by, and look what else it says. In a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. Both. He gives them both. God's provision. And this just tells me that He gives us what we need through the unknown journeys and experience of life. Not only just part of the time. This is saying day and night. There's not a moment that you will go through in life where God is not willing and ready and already have something available that we can take and provide in a time of need. There's not. I don't care how bad you think the situation is. Their day and night covers 24/7. 24/7, God is always available. You know, when you don't know what else to do, request. Pray about it. Sometimes we're stuck. You know, there's a lot of situations in life where we can't talk to people. You can't talk to anybody about these things that you go through. They first of all, they won't understand. And second of all, they'll look at you like you're crazy after that point. So you can't talk to anybody. What else do you have left? Prayer. God already has seen all the details in whatever you're dealing with in your personal situation. He knows you can't talk to anybody and has you in that position just for that reason. He wants you to request from Him. Request. So when you feel like you just can't do it, you feel frustrated, you feel tired, guess what? God gives. He gives. He gives us solutions. So I don't think we need to worry about the unknown, because it's through the unknown that God provides. Those are the times where we can, I think, grow, and where God wants us to flourish is in the unknown. In the unknown. Just have to let Him rule in your hearts, just like the verse said. So God gave them light for the journey, and I think He gives us light through His Word, doesn't He? The light of His Word. That's how we walk. That's how we see. That's how we function. That's how we do anything on this earth. So I think if you're human, you will appreciate the next verse. It says, He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He didn't take it away. That means He's faithful. He's consistent. He's always there, and He doesn't take things away from us. You know, this is applying to the Jews, but apply it to your own life. This is referring to God's personality in dealing with people, dealing with believers, of people of faith, people that believe in Him. That's where we are. I like that. He did not take it away. Did not. There's something to say about being on the receiving end of God's grace. There's something to say about that. To know that He's in charge up here, ruling over the universe, and that His provision to us will not be taken away. It will not be taken away. Can't be, because He won't do it. But look how many Christians have that available to them, God's provision available to them, but they don't have any knowledge of it. Remember I told you it takes an understanding? If you don't know about it, how are you going to take advantage of it? You can't. You can't do it. So, I think the clock went super fast on me the last 30 minutes. But that's a good place to stop, and we'll continue with this this Wednesday. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your grace. Thank You for the most gracious act in human history of Jesus Christ coming to the earth for each individual person to ever walk on this earth to live. We know that we have a sinful nature and we're separated eternally from You. And Jesus Christ came in humility for the sole purpose of reconciling us to God, for redeeming us from the slavery of sin, from saving us from eternal death in hell. And He did it all by dying on a cross, dying for all the sins of all humanity, just for one reason, so we would have it available as a solution for Him to rule and lead our lives by believing in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's what the scripture tells us. We're saved by faith through grace, and that is not of ourselves, it is a gift. And when we hear the word gift, we need to remember that it's free, absolutely free. So we thank You for this ability. Thank You for all these things that You offer us. We ask that You can continue to lead and that we can continue to allow You to do that. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.